Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, this is The Bright Side with Technisha.
A daily broadcast on real-life issues that will keep you motivated.
And now, here's your host, Technisha.
Good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Bright Side with Technisha. And today is February the 24th, 2014. And here with me is Jimmy Burgess, who is the author of the book, What Just Happened, How to Bounce Back in Life So You Could Do More, Have More, and Be More. Good afternoon, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on here today.
No, it's an honor to have you today. I really appreciate it. Jimmy, can you give us a little bit more about your background? Because I know you enjoy your share of business success.
Yeah, sure, Technisha. Yeah, you know, I guess kind of my story started when I was kind of in a job where I was making a living but not making a life, if anybody can relate to that. It wasn't my passion. I mean, I enjoyed the people I was working with, but there just wasn't that fire, and I knew that I wanted something more, and I thought at the end of the year if I could get this raise that I'd been being promised that maybe I'd get a little more motivation, maybe I'd get a little more passion for the job, excitement, maybe I could provide for my family a little more. And then at the end of the year, the raise just didn't come, and when it didn't, I finally decided that I just had to make some things change, and I knew that if I was going to make things change, I had to change first. And so that's what I did. I started just kind of filling myself with positive messages. I listened to tons of motivational tapes. I listened to autobiographies of people that had made an impact in the world, and it began to change me from the inside. And then ultimately it taught me that I needed to start focusing on what it was that other people wanted and needed. And I think we've all heard the story by Zig Ziglar when he tells the thing. He says, you know, if you just help enough other people get what they want, then you can get what you want. And so that's what I began to do. I left that job as a commercial lender at that bank and within a year of leaving that bank, all of a sudden my income that was my yearly income at the bank became my monthly income. And within 2 years, it was my biweekly income. But there was a but, though, because, you know, what happened is somewhere along the way, when that money starts coming in like that, I lost focus on who I really was. I began mm-hmm. to let my ego, you know, if you can relate, my ego and my everything about me, I began to think everything was about me. And I just began to make bad decision after bad decision because I thought I was bulletproof, you know. And so when you lose calibration with who you really are like that, things can change in a hurry, and they did for me. And I'll never forget the day, May 4th, 2009. I'm sitting there, technician, in the parking lot with my wife in Pensacola, Florida, about to have to go in and claim bankruptcy. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm thinking, what just happened? How in the world could I let myself put my family in this position? How could I take this financial blessing that should have set us up for life and just throw it away with these bad decisions and with my attitude and with everything that I was doing and just have to start over? Because I'm sitting there with $500 cash left in my name. And, it isn't just financial when you have a financial battle like that. You know, my wife, I married way up. And she stood with me through everything. And I had, you know, situations where my health suffered because that stress, you know, it's so heavy. I remember sitting at my desk and the phone would ring, and I knew I couldn't pay, and I knew it was probably bill collectors, and it was almost as close as I've ever been to a panic attack, and I just couldn't even get a deep breath. You know, the weight of that stress was so heavy, and I knew that I had to make things change. You know, I mean, I think people can relate to that, you know, of being in a struggle.
And especially when the bill collectors are you start memorizing the numbers, you like, oh, that's what the bill
It is. You do.
Then when you don't, they try to get you early in the morning, and then when they can't get you early in the morning, don't they call you late at night sometime when you're eating? Then you're like, seriously, are you calling me at 8 o'clock at night?
I know, and and I think everybody can relate to you get to a point, and that's where I got where I was like, you know, I can't keep doing this. Something's got to change, you know, And so what I did, I decided, you know, and this doesn't happen overnight. You know, this takes time to spin down to where I mentioned that date where I'm sitting there getting ready to go into bankruptcy court. Well, a few months before, I said, you know, I got to get back to basics. What was it that helped me thrive before? And it was I got back to focusing on what was positive in my life. I got back to the point where I began to think about the things I was thankful for instead of the things I was worried about. And I began to focus again on the needs of other people. And after that bankruptcy, within a few weeks, I started a new business that I didn't know anything about 3 to 4 months before the bankruptcy, but I found a way to just get back focused on other people. And within a year, we bounced back financially. Now, the great thing was it wasn't just financial. You know, I mean, I look around and like right now, at 43 years old now, I'm in better physical condition than I've ever been. My relationship, my wife and my kids, is better than it ever has been. And when that happens, when things are good, people begin to notice it and they ask, you know, what are you doing? Because a lot of us went through this meltdown or are still in the middle of it. And I had some friends that said, hey, do you think you can help me out? And I said, well, I don't know. Let's try. And we formulated this game plan and they began to see results. And we began to see these 7 steps that I used, that they used. And then I began to look back that people had used throughout history that had come through financial tough times, like Henry Ford, like Abraham Lincoln, that have bounced back and that had impacted the world more than ever before after they went through their struggle. And that's when I began to start saying this. And people would say, well, you need to write this down. And I'd never really written before, you know? I mean, and so all of a sudden now I got this book, and I'm so excited for the opportunity, like, to be here with you today to share with you that, you know, this struggle that we're all going through, it's come to pass. It hadn't come to stay. There's ways that you can move out of it. And so I'm really excited to share some of that with you and your listeners today.
Well, I'm glad you're here, like I said before, and we're glad that you're sharing this book with us. As always, I love authors and books. But your book is your story of overcoming life struggles.
Right.
Can you just, I know for probably the ones who just coming in on it, can you just take us back to where everything totally just changed from you, just from that beginning, Mark?
Right. And, yeah. You know, the thing was, is in that job where I was, and it was,
Jimmy.
Chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again. But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
Who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back on the air. Jimmy? I believe we lost our guest. Well, let's find out where he is. Jimmy?
Yes.
Okay. I know. We got lost.
I had a power outage in Northwest Florida. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, okay. I understand. No, that's acceptable. But, Jim, we were in the middle of you taking us back to where everything began to just change for you.
Yeah. It was just a situation where I was living a life that maybe others can relate to, that just there wasn't a lot of passion in it. You know, there wasn't a lot of excitement. I feel like each of us inside us has something that nobody's ever had to teach us how to do, that we were just naturally good at, and that there's a purpose for everybody's life. And reality, I found that people's purpose and their dreams can lie dormant for years, but they never die. And so I just decided that, you know, I was at a point where I had nothing to lose. if anybody can relate to that. I mean, you know, it can't get much worse as far as financially and as far as where my relationships were with others. So I just decided that, you know what, I'm going to go for it. And what I found is I've never found anybody that chases their dream that is ever sorry for it. Now, there may be some setbacks and there may be some things and struggles that we have to go through to get to where we're wanting to go, but nobody's ever, gotten to the end of it after chasing a dream and said, oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I've just never met anybody that has. And so that's what it was for me. I had to figure out what it was that I was supposed to do, and I just went at it with full force. And, it was tough. There were times it just didn't seem like it was worth it. But in the end, it's always worth it to do and to chase those dreams that we all have.
Well, yeah. Now, apparently we seem to have a caller online already with us, Jimmy.
Okay.
Caller, how are you?
Oh, I'm okay. How are you guys?
Great.
Well, wonderful, blessed to be here.
Awesome. Well, you're talking about going towards your dreams or whatnot, and I have a question specifically about when my dreams are in conflict with a lot of other people's dreams. I want something that a lot of people don't really think is a good idea, but it's still my dream. How do you go about proceeding with that?
Technician, can I answer that or attempt to?
Well, right ahead.
Okay. First off, you've got to identify whether your dream is something that's going to, you know, it sounds like, you know, you have a lot of people that are giving you feedback. Is this a dream that will, you know, be in conflict for your family, for instance? And that's a question only you can answer. Let me tell you what's great about chasing your dream right now is that the Internet has made it capable for us to learn and to do anything. So whatever that dream is it, if it's a situation where you have responsibilities to your family or someone else around you that you have to make sure you take care of. This is not a situation in today's society where we have to drop everything immediately and begin to completely focus on something. What's great about it is that a lot of things that I learned after I left my job in the evenings. You know, there was a transition period from when I was at that job that was just not my passion, where I continued to do that job during the day, but in the evenings and early mornings, I began to build a foundation that I could chase my dream from. So I think what's great about it is today, whatever it is your dream is, it's so easy. You can go on YouTube right now, and you can just type in how to monetize whatever your dream is, and you're going to get millions of videos of people telling you how to do that. So the key thing is to build a foundation that you can grow from. And ultimately, what you have to realize is that if that dream's inside you and you know that it's your dream, you've got to get yourself right before you can make it right for others. I love the story technique where you know, when you're on an airplane and when you may even have a child sitting beside you, but they say, now if the pressure in the airplane drops, and the airbags come from the top, the first thing you're supposed to do is put that airbag over your mouth so that then you can help the others. And it's not necessarily the thing we do. As a parent, the first thing I want to do is put it on my child. But what I've got to do is I've got to get myself right before I can help them. So make sure that this dream is not in conflict where you're putting your family or someone else in jeopardy. Build a foundation in the after hours or before hours. And then once you have that foundation, chase that dream with all your passion, and ultimately you've got to make yourself right before you can take care of others.
Well, that's pretty good. All right. Well, thank you guys for taking my call, and I hope you have a good rest of your show.
Hey, thanks for calling. And let me just encourage you. Don't ever let that dream die. You know, you've got an opportunity to chase it in today's society. Just go at it with full force. Once you build that foundation.
Well, thank you. That makes me feel a lot better about my future endeavors.
Great.
Awesome.
Yeah. I say I love this. That's why I always say every time I do this show, it's so motivating because I like to see other people succeed. That's what this show is all about, for others to succeed, to motivate you. I mean, everybody has a chance out here. And you're right. Don't let your dream die. Don't be worried about nobody else, what they got to say.
That's right.
Because the next, because I feel like this, the ones who are negative, when you make it to the top, they're going to be the ones with their lip poked out.
That's right. That's right. I'll tell you what, Technique, haters have driven me more than supporters ever have, if
okay.
that makes sense. You know
exactly.
what I mean? And so here's another thing to understand is sometimes you've got to be quiet about your dream, because a lot of times people won't support your dream because it makes them feel uncomfortable that they aren't willing to make the sacrifices to chase theirs. It's kind of ironic that if you're driving down the road, if you look on the side of the road, buzzards fly in packs, but an eagle flies alone. And so sometimes what you've got to realize is that we almost have to isolate ourselves and our dream to let it grow to a point where we can share it with others. It's tough because you want to share it and you think everybody's going to be for you. But I hate to say it, but in reality, there are people that aren't for you.
And my coworker always would tell me that I would say certain things, talking about what I want to do, and she would tell me, stop talking to these people on the job because everybody is not for you. Now, everybody who prays for you, you don't want them praying for you.
Right.
Yeah,
so true.
She would get on me, and I have a bad habit of doing that because I get so excited. I want everybody to know what I'm doing.
Right.
You want everybody to know what you're doing, and some people be like, yeah, whatever.
Exactly. Let me give you a perfect example. I grew up down in Northwest Florida. You know, I'm about 4 or 5 hours away from Atlanta along the coast. My dad, when we were growing up, used to take us. We loved having these family crab boils. We have to have crabs to do that. Well, we lived close. He lived down in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, and we would take a boat over to Destin, Florida. Now, in Destin, there's this place called Crab Island. Now it's known as this huge on-the-water party place. It wasn't that when I was growing up. The reason why they called it Crab Island was because it was knee to waist deep water, and there would be these blue crabs everywhere. And so we would go there to catch these crabs. Well, my dad would set the boat up on one end of this thing and let the tide drift it across. And then my brother, myself, a couple of my friends, we would have nets. My dad would stand on the front of the boat as it would drift across there and say, there's a crab. We would go scoop it up. He tied a big old wash tub on the back behind the boat to the boat, and it would just float behind it. We would put the crabs in there. Well, it didn't take long. We would fill that thing up almost to the top. And my dad and I would. I said, Dad, we've got to put a top on this, or these crabs, all they've got to do is go to the side and jump over. He said, no, son, just watch what they do. And so I went back and I'm watching these crabs. All they got to do is just go to the side. And finally, one of them in the middle says, or just thinks, I'm getting out of here. I mean, this is our demise. We're going to get boiled here. I'm going to get out of here. He crawls to the side, and just as he's about to fall off out of this bucket to the safety of the water, one of those other crabs reaches up with his pinchers and pulls him back down in that mess. Now, here's the thing is, that crab would literally start shaking trying to get away, but that other crab wouldn't let it go. As a matter of fact, when we boiled the crabs and we dumped it out, technique, you would see that crab had held on to the death and not let that other crab go. The sad thing is there's a lot of people around that they, instead of helping you out of a mess you're in, they'd rather keep you in it with them so they don't have to feel bad about it themselves. So I think what we've got to do, one of the things you got to do, you got to make sure you surround yourself with people that are supportive. Because you got to get rid of those people that are going to pull you down and start finding those people that are going to lift you up.
Yep. And like I was just saying just a moment ago, misery loves company. It does. Mm-hmm. Love attached to you like leeches.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned the financial loss in the combat. Tell us more about how the financial strain really affected your marriage and other relationships.
Well, you know, what's great about it is that I was blessed with a wife that that after you go through a struggle, you come out stronger than you were before. And, you know, when you go through that, it was nothing, you know, if I would have listened to her in the middle of everything, things would have happened a lot better and a lot faster. But, you know, I was so overwhelmed with my ego and with thinking that it was about me that I just didn't listen. And it caused a strain.
You were hard-headed, Jimmy. That's what it was. You were hard-headed.
I still am, I'm afraid, but I'm hopefully I'm not as bad. I'm softening a little bit. But you're right, I was. But that kind of led us, you know, to it wasn't that our marriage was ever in trouble. It was that I could see my decisions were hardening her heart towards me. And I knew that there was more to a good marriage than what I was doing to create the marriage we were in. And so when I finally began to make my decision, it was immediate that once she saw that I was trying to change, and once I apologized and truly apologized and tried to make some changes, wow, she pulled in right shoulder to shoulder to me. And let me just tell you, I'll never forget it. I'll never forget the way that she stood with me when others would have left. You know, the way that she meant it when she said, for better or for worse, for richer, for poor, for in good health and in bad. And now, because we've come through, it's almost like if you break your arm, you know, if it heals properly, where it broke is stronger than what it was before the break. And if you've ever been through a struggle and you come through it, you're stronger in that area. And my marriage is so much stronger and better now than it ever would have been without us going through what we went through.
How long have you been married now, Jimmy?
17 years and about 2 weeks. And so,
all right.
And so it's, I'll tell you what, it's natural in all relationships to have that, you know, those up and down times. But what I found is that if you're purposeful about the fact that it's not about you, then it ends up being better for you. And so what I try to do is I try to focus on some little things to improve our relationship on a constant basis. And it's made all the difference.
I'm glad you and her are still sticking together, thick and thin.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And it has a lot to do with her, you know, and credit her. And then what you realize is that she's made me stronger. And she's made me better. And when you got that, and you can get to that point, boy, there's nothing can stop you once you've got that. Everything else, once you've got that going in the right direction, everything else kind of falls in line behind.
Yeah, and that's how it is. When you believe in God, anything that you want is just gonna fall right on in line. Everything gonna just start going right along, just the way you want it, and you don't even have to ask for it. He got you.
That's right. And what's great about it, too, is like it says in Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good. Even when I screwed it up so bad, he still worked it out for good. What's crazy is now that I've been through that financial struggle, the thing that I thought was going to be the worst thing could happen to me has now turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to me. It actually took me losing the thing that money could buy in order to appreciate and have all the things that money couldn't buy. Now, who does that? How does that work? You know, but it's so true that whatever you're in that struggle you're in, that maybe the listeners are in right now and they're trying to figure out how do I get out of this mess, there's a process. But understand, too, that spring always comes after winter. Now, it may be a long, cold winter, but every year spring comes after winter. And so whatever situation you're in, if you're in a winter time of life, understand that spring's coming, and really there are ways that you can move into spring quicker than just sitting there and staying in that wintertime.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. I do agree with that. Jimmy, can you give us a few practical and actionable tips on what to do to start the process of bouncing back?
Yeah. It all starts with your attitude. You know, it really does. And one of the things that I did at my worst time is because, you know, when you're in the middle of that, sometimes I can remember waking up in the mornings, And then you finally, you think about the things you have to face that day, and it's so painful, it almost feels like somebody hits you in your stomach. And what I began to realize is that how I set my day up, beginning my day, is what really set the tone for the rest of the day. Even to this day, I wake up in the morning. I did it this morning. And when my first foot hits the floor coming out of my bed, I say, thank. And then when my next foot hits the floor, I say, you. And I began to focus on the things that I'm thankful for. And I began to... Now I pick 5 or 6 things out. One of them this morning is that I was thankful that I get the opportunity to share with you and talk with you so that maybe somebody listening that's in the middle of a struggle doesn't have to struggle the way that I did. Maybe they find encouragement from my story so that their story becomes a reality for them. I began to focus on those things. At the worst time, here's what I did. I wrote a list of 40 things that I was thankful for. It was relationships. It was my wife. It was my health. It was opportunity. It was that this too shall pass. It was those type of things, people that stuck with me through the tough times that when most people left. And I began to focus on those things. I did that for 40 days. I concentrated on those 40 things for 40 days. And all of a sudden, because I began starting my day focusing on positives and things I was thankful for, all of a sudden my eyes began to open up and I began to see all the things that I could be thankful for. And I went from a time of worry to a time of hope. And the best example I can give of this is my wife got a new Buick Rendezvous about 6 months ago. I didn't even know what a white Buick Rendezvous looked like. I'd never noticed them before. The day after she got them, I'm driving down the road. And I'm like, is that her coming? Because there's a white Buick. No, that's not her. Is that her over there? Because I see another white Buick Rendezvous. Is that her over there? All of a sudden, there were white Buick Rendezvous everywhere. Now, it wasn't because, all of a sudden, because my wife got one that everybody had one. They were there the whole time. The problem was that my consciousness was not focused on those. And
okay.
Same thing with the thankfulness. When I would concentrate on the things that I was thankful for, all of a sudden my eyes, it was like my eyes were peeled open, and I could see all the things I was thankful for, and it just began a momentum of moving from worry and fear to hope, encouragement, and excitement about my future. And so if you're in the middle of a struggle right now, concentrate on those things. There only may be one or two that you can come to mind right now. Concentrate on those things you're thankful for, and all of a sudden, your whole attitude will begin to change.
Oh, yeah, you got to stay positive. You think negative, then negative things will happen.
Absolutely.
What would you say is the single most destructive thing most people do that keeps them from bouncing back quickly?
I think it's who we surround ourselves with. You know, I love the way Jim Rohn says it. He said, we're the average of the five people we spend the most time with. Well, that means we're the average of them physically, spiritually, mentally, financially, and relationally, everything around us. Here's what, when I got to my worst point, I looked around and I said, you know what? These people that I've got around me right now that were here with me and didn't stop me from walking into this mess, they're probably not the people that are going to help me walk out of it. I've got to find some people that inspire me and that I'm going to be around that I can see. I think sometimes we have to see before we can be. And so I actually started to search out for people that had been through the struggle I had been through. And I actually humbled myself with one man in particular that was a little older than me, and I knew he'd been through a financial struggle, and I knew he had bounced back not only financially but in all areas of his life. And I went to him, I said, listen, I'm struggling. I know you've been through this. Can I just take you to lunch? I'd like to ask your opinion on something. Boy, it took everything I could. I was so embarrassed and ashamed. But I spent time with that man, and he shared with me some of the things that he went through. And when I was at my worst, I would call him and I'd say, I'm really struggling with this right now. And he'd say, I know exactly what you're talking about. Here's what I did. You know, so if there's somebody listening today, for instance, let's say that somebody that you've been, someone listening has been through a divorce, come out of it, or they're still trying to get out of it, but they aren't at rock bottom, share with somebody that's behind you that you know is struggling that, hey, I've been where you are, and give them encouragement. And what I found is the best way to heal your wounds is to help somebody else come through what you've already come through. If you're in the middle of a mess now, but you've been through something else that you came through, focus on that thing that you came through and how you came through it, and the steps are going to be the same. But surround yourself with people that are going to help you, that are going to lift you up rather than pull you down. And that's when things will begin to change.
Yes, that is so true. You've got to feel yourself around positive people who are going to help you. In the book, you discuss habits and characteristics that most high achievers all have in common. Can you share a few of those?
Sure. Here's what I found is, and I kind of mentioned a little earlier, if you get control of your day in the morning,
yeah,
then you're going to have to control the rest of your day. There's a great book that was written about what high achievers do before breakfast. And in that book, they did a study of about, I think it was around 100 CEOs of Fortune 500 companies. Now, here's what they found is that they did it in different ways, but in the book I talk about, there's really three platforms. There's our physical body, which carries out the day-to-day tasks that we need to take care of physically. There's our mental body, which is basically where we formulate ideas, where we begin to put into our mind what it is that we want to see happen. And then there's our spirituality. There's our spiritual body, that obviously, which is our rudder for life. It's our connection to our Creator. The book found is that of those 100 CEOs, they all three, almost to a T, every one of them, it was over 90%, did three things in the morning. First thing they did is they did some type of physical exercise. Now, we can go into all the health benefits, but it began to get their mind in a positive direction. The second thing that they did is most of them listened to something inspirational or read something that inspired them, such as an autobiography, motivational book, whatever the case may be. And over 80% of them read one big book in particular. Now, typically, if you'd say what, you know, if you tell, say that book, most people around and get it, but it's not necessarily always that way. And that book was the Bible, and that roadmap for life. And they would get themselves right spiritually, physically, and mentally, and it would set the tone for their day. So whatever struggle you're in, if you'll get back to basics and begin to get yourself physically in a better place than you were, if you begin to get better physically today than you were yesterday, you begin to grow your mind better today than you were yesterday. Spiritually, you begin to get stronger in your faith today than you were yesterday. Everything else will begin to move in that positive direction.
That's right. It sure will. Now, a lot of times we can't move forward until we accept our past. What can we do to heal the old wounds that are holding us back from moving forward?
Well, two things, technician. First thing is, and this is the first step in any recovery process, is we got to admit where we made mistakes. For 2 years, I blamed partners, I blamed clients for my situation. And in reality, even the partners or even the people that just did me wrong, you know, that I didn't have any control over, I had given them the opportunity close enough to me to hurt me when I got to the core of it. Now, there are certain things in life that we can't control, but the first thing we can accept those. We can't control what happens to us, but we can control how we react to it. So the first thing is take responsibility. Quit blaming others for the mess you're in and realize mm-hmm. and try to figure out what lessons you need to learn so that you don't stay in this mess. And then the second thing to do is if you're going to come out of this stuff, you've got to figure out what it is that you did in the past and do something different. You've got to make changes. If you want different results, you got to make changes. And here's the problem is, growth and comfort, in reality, they can't coexist. They just can't. So you've got to get comfortable with being a little uncomfortable and learning new things and trying new things and being around new people and having new experiences. And when you get comfortable with being uncomfortable and that you're growing, then everything else is going to begin to turn in the right direction.
That is so true. Now, Jimmy, for the ones that may be listening now, what one tip would you like for them to know that who are in the middle of this struggle?
Yeah. The biggest thing, and I'll tell you, it was almost, for me, there was a moment where things began to turn when I was in the most difficult part of my struggle. I began to feed my mind with those positive messages, and one of the ones that really got me was one day, it was so heavy, I just got in my car and I left my office. I'm driving around and I plugged in this CD by the motivational speaker, Les Brown, if you've ever heard him. He's got this big booming voice. And he says, your struggle has not come to stay, but it's come to pass. Now, I had heard him say that before, but something when he said that just pierced my heart. And all of a sudden I began to realize that, you know what, if things are going to change, then I got to start changing again. And all of a sudden, I began to realize that this too shall pass, that it had not come to stay, it had come to pass. And all of a sudden, I began to get back on my toes playing offense instead of on my heels playing defense. And all of a sudden, instead of reacting to life, I began to make life react to me because I set my day up in a way that I was always going to be moving forward to the best of my ability. Now, there were days I went backwards, but I woke up every day optimistic that I was going to move the ball forward. And more days than not, I began to do that. A couple days in a row, all of a sudden you start seeing momentum. So if there's somebody listening today and they're in the middle of that struggle, understand that this too shall pass. And when you begin to quit moping around about it, because I moped for 2 years. I mean, I'm telling you, I just laid up in it. When I finally decided that, you know what, I'm not going to live this way anymore. And I began to get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I began to move in that direction, that's when things began to change.
See, Jimmy, see, I know that you fell back, but see, you moved forward because you kept the faith. See, it's all
that's
about
right.
Keeping that faith. You can't let go of that. Yeah, you had the ego, everything else, and you had to be broken all the way down in order to realize, hey, this is not the way for me to travel.
Right, right, right. And I'll tell you this, there was a different mentality when I realized that I wasn't broke, I was poor. You know, if that makes any sense. For a while, I thought, oh, I'm broke. And I'm not just speaking financially. And all of a sudden, I realized, you know what? I'm not broke. I've got an opportunity. Now, I may be financially poor right now going through this struggle, but I've been to the top before. I know that part of the thing that I can do is that I can begin to make changes. And when I make a change, thing is make sure that today is better than yesterday. And do something today to make sure that tomorrow is better than today. And once you start stringing those things together, wow, that momentum, once it gets going in the right direction, is so strong that it's stronger than the momentum of you sitting in the middle of that mess.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. But what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Jim will tell us how we can start reacting to the world and start making the world react to us.
There's only one station that will keep you happy, Blog Talk Radio. We're taking more of your calls at 347-426-3751. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this commercial break.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey, the dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And we are back with our guest, Jimmy Perkins. He has been through the trials and tribulations of war, a naturally the struggle. Now, Jim, in the book, he has met the characteristics the most like Jesus Paul had to be a pair of two of those. Jimmy?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Now, in the book, you discuss habits and characteristics that most high achievers all have in common. Can you share a few of those?
Yeah, absolutely. That, you know, one of the things that we talked about a little bit earlier was that they start their day off right. Here's some other things that they do. One of the things that they do, and this is kind of helps them make sure that the day and that the world around them is going to react to them rather than them reacting to it, is that they have an action plan before the day ever starts. You know, imagine a football team going in or a basketball team going into a game without a plan of action. There for 2 years, I would just wake up with I just was trying to make sure that things didn't go any worse rather than with a plan of how I was going to go forward. Once I began to realize that, listen, I needed a game plan, I began to outline goals. And, you know, I think we've all heard the value of goals, but are you really using it? You know, and it can be as simple as before I would go to bed at night, is I would outline 5 things that I wanted to accomplish the next day. I even did it last night. There were 10 things that I wrote down that today I want to make sure before I shut things down in the evening that I'm going to get accomplished today. And so I woke up this morning and, you know, I started my day with like I always do, but then when I got to work, there wasn't any time for me to, well, I think I'm going to check my email. Or I'm going to see what's going on Facebook, or I'm going to do these kind of things. I had my list of steps that I needed to accomplish, and I began to do those things and start lining through them. As I began to line through them, momentum begins to come. All of a sudden, you know, before I got on the phone with you, I looked down at my list and said, wow, I've had a good morning. I've got some things done. Well, now I'm excited about my afternoon because I know that I'm headed in the right direction. I'm beginning to make things happen instead of letting them happen to me. So make sure that you have that daily to-do list, and if you do it the night before, that's what most high achievers do is they set the tone for their day before they ever get there. They walk into the game of life on a daily basis with a game plan on how they're going to win instead of trying to figure it out on the fly.
Yeah. Now, one of the chapters is about finding a mentor or a life coach. share with us why this is so important.
Well, I think of it this way. The first thing that happens in war, and sometimes I just have to be honest, when I was in the middle of my struggle, it felt like war on a daily basis. I was going into battle. And I think we all realize that there is evil out there that we do go to battle with. The first thing that happens in a conflict in war is that the enemy tries to knock out communication. And the reason they do that is that if they can knock out communication, that soldier that's on the battlefield, if he doesn't have someone in his ear that can see the whole battlefield and tell him there's a problem coming from the left, you need to move to the right. Or there's an opportunity to the right, you need to head towards the right-hand side. Well, if not, that soldier that's sitting there, all he can do is make decisions based on what he can see in front of him. And a lot of times, especially when I was in my struggle, some of the decisions I was making, because I just isolated myself. I got to a point where I didn't want to talk to my wife about it. First of all, I was embarrassed and I was ashamed. I didn't want to talk to people around me. I wanted to act like everything was okay because I thought that was what I was supposed to do to work myself out of it. But in reality, once I humbled myself and I began to try to find somebody that could help me, I began to get people speaking things into my life that I hadn't seen before. I began to see opportunities I didn't even know were there that some other people were telling me. I didn't have people around me that were positive to begin with. So what I did is that I just began to find positive books, and I began to listen on Audible or on YouTube to videos of people that were positive, so that I had that positivity coming into my life. Once I got that, then the next step was is that I actually got on some blogs. You know, whatever you're going through, you can just put, you can Google, you know, whatever your struggle is, and then blog or forum, and then you're going to find people that have either been through it or going through it that in a where you're not face-to-face, you can ask for advice or ask for people's input, and you get to see what other people are saying that they've done or they've been through. But then obviously the best thing is face-to-face. I personally have had a life coach pretty much my whole life. The only time that I haven't, once I began to succeed some, was the time that I was in my struggle. And looking back, if I had had someone, I'm not saying they would have stopped me because of, you know, how I was at that time, but just to have somebody to say, you know, you may want to think about this again, and you may want to, let's take a little closer look at this, possibly help me not make the decision that I made. And then once I got someone involved, I had a friend also that was a mentor to me. I mentioned the gentleman that was older than me. I needed to see somebody that had come through what I had come through, because once I saw it, then I knew I could do it. And I think that sometimes we isolate ourselves so much that we think we're the only one that's ever been through something. And it's just not so. So surround yourself with somebody that can tell you, you know what, we're going to get through this. And two is always better than one.
Or we usually think that this can't happen to me. We're made of glass.
Right. Yeah. It's so true.
Now, one of the steps of bouncing back that you discuss in the book is goal setting. What part does this play in coming back from a setback in life?
It's everything, because when I was in that struggle, it was the part where I just wasn't, you know, I had no direction. I've got a good friend of mine. I'll use this example. I've got a good friend of mine that in our area, the Special Forces Unit for the Army came into this area, and I met this guy, and we've become the best of friends. He has done 7 tours of Iraq. He's a team leader of 12 elite, of the most elite forces in the world. He's whether it be in combat or in practice, he shot literally over 1 million rounds with his rifle. Now, I really don't shoot a gun that much. But I love the way that I want to kind of rephrase the way that I had heard Zig Ziglar tell this before. I guarantee you that I could take him out to the range, though, tomorrow with a target and give him 10 bullets and me 10 bullets, and I could shoot closer to that target than he could into that bullseye. And, of course, with a couple of exceptions. As long as I could put a blindfold on him and I could spin him around where he had no idea where the target was. Now, a lot of people, when I tell that story, they say, well, you know, that's crazy. Of course you can't expect somebody to hit something they can't see. And they're right. But the difference is in life, if you don't have goals and you don't have a direction you're headed in, especially when you're trying to come out of a struggle and head back up into and a part of your life that you're trying to strive to get away from, if you're trying to strive towards something, if you don't have a goal or a plan on action on how to get there, how do you even know if you're headed in the right direction? So the key is you've got to have those goals so that you know that you're headed in the right direction. And if you aren't, you can make adjustments to get back headed in that direction.
Mm-hmm. That makes so much sense. It does. It really does. But now the subtitle of your book is How to Bounce Back in Life So You Can Do More, Have More, and Be More. What exactly do you mean by more?
Yeah, you know, when people first hear that, typically they think I'm talking about finances, but it's not. You know, the biggest thing you've got to understand is that in order to get out of what mess you're in, it all starts with doing more. You can have all the knowledge in the world, but until you take action, nothing's going to change. Until you begin to do something different than the way you've been doing it before, nothing is going to change. So whatever it is in life that you're trying to achieve or whatever you're trying to do, it all starts with doing more. When I first started coming out of it, I didn't have any idea how to run the business that I started, but I just did so much massive action that I just began to make adjustments, and I found some things that work, and I did more of them. And once you begin to do more, all of a sudden around you, you begin to have more. And I'm not just talking about finances. All of a sudden, because I was doing more, my wife saw that I was making an effort. I wasn't just sitting in the mess. I was beginning to change. And because of that, I had a better relationship with my wife. Of course, more money comes. Everything else that this world has to offer comes also. But now I've got more of a relationship with my kids. And then once those things began to change, ultimately, I just became more. You be more. You know, and by being more, I mean that, you know, when I see an opportunity now, because I'm not in my financial struggle, when I see an opportunity, I can take advantage of it. When I see a need in my community, I don't have to say somebody ought to take care of that. I can go make a difference, whether that be financially or whether it be by me just giving something that I understand or that I've been able to figure out. So it all starts with doing more. Start doing more, you begin to have more, whether that be relationships, whether that be spiritually speaking, that you begin to have more opportunity to share your faith, whatever it is, and then you become more. And when you are being more, everything else takes care of itself.
Yeah, and that, like we said in the beginning, once you start doing right and have that pure heart and start listening to God, everything falls right in place.
It always does.
And that's what I have to do. I have to keep doing more. See, my main thing was being a news reporter. And, of course, the door has not opened, so that's why I did start this radio show. I said I want to do something else. Maybe this will get me noticed out there. And maybe it's something else that I'm still not doing that I'm supposed to be doing. Maybe I'm just not believing enough to let God actually handle this. Maybe it's not my direction. I don't know. But the main thing, and this is for the listeners out there, we have to start praying, and I need to get back in the habit of praying more. Because sometimes you can depart yourself from a lot of things when you don't pray. So I have to start finding my own mistakes. Oh, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, I'll tell you what happened to me in the middle of my struggle as far as my faith, is I kept praying for this and for that, and here's what I heard, is I was praying one day that I said, Lord, let me do this. Lord, help me do that. Lord, and all of a sudden it was almost like, there's a reason why I gave you two ears and one mouth. And all of a sudden I began to sit there and I said, you know what? Lord, I'm just going to do what you tell me to do, and I'm going to do it as best as I can. And once I began to do that, what I found is I believe every single one of our purpose is somehow it involves other people. It involves serving and helping other people. And when I began to focus on others, everything else that I had ever needed or wanted just fell into place. And so I think the key is sometimes I would personally spend so much time trying to tell God what I wanted, when in reality I had to start listening to what it was that God wanted me to do. And ultimately that led me to getting everything that I ever dreamed of.
Okay, yeah. We could be so hard. We are. We could be so hard-headed, but he can break it down where you be humble.
Oof. I mean, I'll tell you this right now. That's the biggest, you know, the pride and the ego for me, was my most difficult thing. And that, and sometimes, like you mentioned, when you're as hard-headed as I am, God's got to do some extreme things to get your attention. You know, He had to do it to me financially. He had to do it to me physically, relationally, to get my attention. And so what I'm trying to do is just learn from those things, stay humble, and realize that it's not about me. And when I make it about other people, then everything else takes care of itself.
Oh, yeah, it does. I know we have discussed different steps in the bounce-back process, but where does the bounce-back process start, Jimmy?
Yeah, it really starts with us humbling ourselves, as we've talked about. It starts with us realizing that, you know what, things have happened to me. Maybe you've got somebody that just did you completely wrong. I had to draw a line in the sand and realize that, you know what, there was not a thing I could do about my past, but I had complete control over my future. I had to come to a point where I said, there was actually a day, Technesia, I remember I was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't sit in this pain and this worry and this anger that I have. And I said, okay, tomorrow I'm shutting down. I'm gonna just lay in that pain and that anger, everything. I'm going to get it all out of my system. And at the end of the day, I'm going to let it go. I wrote letters to people that I thought had just done me so wrong. I didn't send them because that wouldn't be healthy. I ripped them up when I was done. I sat there and grieved over what I had lost or what I had perceived I had lost financially. I sat there and grieved over people that I thought were my friends that ended up causing me pain. At the end of that day, I got to the end of that night, and I laid in bed, and I said, okay, I'm letting it go. When I wake up in the morning, I'm not going to pick this anger back up again. The next day I woke up, it was like the world had been lifted off my shoulders. Now I'm not saying I didn't go back and try to pick it up every once in a while before I had to let that go again. But it was like I had finally decided that my past, there was nothing I could do about it, and I couldn't control my past, but I wasn't going to let my past and what other people had done or I had done control my future. And I got back in control, and I got back focused on where I was headed instead of where I'd been, because it's always more important where we're headed than where we've been. And once I did that, that's when my momentum began to shift, and I began to head in that right direction.
Oh, wow. Jimmy, I love it. You've been through the ups and you've been through the downs, and you just had to come to the senses where, hey, look, this is not going to actually work.
But, that's right.
And like I always tell a lot of my guests, I always tell them, no matter what subject we're talking about on this show, apparently God always comes in. He finds, and what I like about it, because He always finds His way to come into the conversation. Yesterday, I was talking about selling cars, and all of a sudden we got on God, because God takes over everything. It doesn't matter what you talk about. You can talk about breathing exercises. God still plays a part. Every show I have had, God always comes in. That's why He powerful, honey. We got a great God.
Yes. Yes. And here's the thing that I had to realize, too, is that for parts of my life, I had my church life. I had my relationship with my friends at church. I had my other friends that I acted different. I went to work, and I acted different on Monday than I did on Sunday. When I began to study some of these things, you know, if you look back at the ancient Jewish traditions, they don't have a word where it's where they break down your work life and your spiritual life. It's all one. And so what's so refreshing is that I got to a point where now the same way I'm talking to you right now is the same way I talk on Sunday. It's the same way I talk on Thursday. It's that my life is not compartmentalized. God's a part of all of it. And when we get back and we focus on the fact and we bring Him into every area, every time we bring Him into the situation, it always gets better. It always gets better. And the problem is that sometimes when I was so hard-headed, is I would say, I got this. I got this. This isn't a big deal. I can take care of this. In reality, when I did that, it got a lot bigger deal that I couldn't take care of. I think the whole key is just to realize that that anything that you're going through, if you'll bring Him into it, everything else is going to get better.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that all the way, Jimmy. But we're going to end up taking another commercial break. And when we come back, Jimmy will share with us the single most destructive thing most people do that keeps them from bouncing back quickly. So stay tuned, everyone. Please do. This is getting interesting, Jimmy. And if you feel like calling in, please do so. Jimmy has so much to give to us today.
There's only one station that will keep you happy. Blog Talk Radio. We're taking more of your calls at 347-426-3751. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this commercial break.
Ever wonder what makes us, the Smurfs, so happy? The forest, of course. This is where we, along with the beautiful forest creatures, make our home with beautiful plant life, clean water, and endless adventures. It's a place to celebrate. So discover the forest with your family today. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a forest near you. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
How to be a great dad in 15 seconds. Bike ride, go fish, walk in the park, phone call, milkshake, play catch, picnic, fly a kite, tell jokes, laugh, talk, read a story, tell a story, bumper car, swing set, bowling, pillow fight, cut loose, stay tight. Whew. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
We're back on the Bright Side with Tiffany. And we're sitting here today with our guest, Jimmy Burton. In and out, seen it all. So I'm glad to see you tuning in. And Jimmy, back from our break, I want to ask, so what would you say is the single most destructive thing most people do that keeps them from bouncing back quickly?
I think it's two things. The first thing we kind of talked about a little bit before is we got to surround ourselves with positive people that are going to help us move from where we are to where we're supposed to be. The second biggest thing, though, that I would say is this. We've got to forgive ourselves. For so long, for 2 years, I was so angry at myself once I finally owned up to it for my situation. I was ashamed of it. I struggle with, I would even say things to myself like, well, you kind of deserve this with the way you acted. And it just is so toxic. When I finally got to the point that I said, I've got to make some changes here, I went back and I said, you know, I've got to get past this first with myself. And so what I did is I began to try to figure out, how do I forgive myself? What do I do? You know, And I remember, you know, now that we've been talking about it, I want to share this, that I remember, you know, when Jesus was asked, how many times you forgive someone, he said 7 times 70. So here's what I did. I actually decided that, you know, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it over a 10-day period. And I hand wrote out, because there's something about writing something out, I hand wrote out that I forgive myself. And for me, I forgive myself for putting my family in this situation. And then I said, God and I are going to get through this. And I wrote it out 50 times. I forgive myself for putting my family and myself in this situation. God and I are going to get through this. I did that 50 times a day for 10 days, which comes out to 500 times, a little more than 7 times, 70 times. I got to tell you, I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden I began that I was, instead of thinking I deserved it, all of a sudden, I began to think that, you know what, God's for me, and you know what, I deserve to come out of this so that through God's grace, I can share with others that they don't have to struggle this way. And it's kind of funny, because what happens, and we don't even realize it when we're in the middle of a mess, is that now, I'm a perfect example, our mess becomes our message. And that's so ironic to think that whatever your struggle has been in the past or that you're in now, ultimately, you're going to get through this, and ultimately, our job is to share with others so that they don't have to struggle the way that we did. So I would just encourage people, you've got to find a way to forgive yourself, and one way to do that is to just physically handwrite out, I forgive myself for whatever you haven't forgiven yourself for. Do it 50 times a day. Did it take a lot of time? Yes. Did it change everything? Absolutely. So that time is well worth it.
And that makes sense. You have to, because I mean, I know it sounds weird, but you do. You have to forgive yourself, forgive
yeah.
others around you who are ignorant as well. So that all
I couldn't forgive
all,
them though. I couldn't get it to a point where I could forgive them until I forgave myself for me personally. Here's what happened is once I began to get that healing of myself, all of a sudden I could give it to others. I found that what we're never able to give somebody else what we can't give ourselves. I remember that I would sit around and at the lowest point I would think, I'm talking to my in my head I'm saying, you deserve this. I'm saying, how do you think you can come out of this when you've put yourself and your family in this mess? I would talk to myself in a way that if anybody else had walked up to me and talked to me that way, I'd have been ready to move some furniture, if you understand what I'm saying. But I would let myself talk to myself that same way. And I had to get to a point where I got myself and I forgave myself. And then once I had done that, it was so much easier to begin to get past that anger I had at others, also for things they had done.
I bet. Did it take a toll? Because I know you have children. Did it take a toll on the children?
There's no doubt. But you know what's great about kids is that, my daughter, we celebrated my oldest daughter's 16th birthday this past week. And I got to tell you, it wasn't that I was a bad dad, but I wasn't there. Huh? You know, and even when I was there physically, I wasn't there emotionally. I remember there would be days at a time when things were going really good where I would the only interaction I'd have with my kids was I'd kiss them on the cheek when they were still asleep because I was leaving before they woke up, or I'd kiss them on the cheek when I was getting home after they'd already been asleep. And it was just a situation where I remember I went through a health scare, and when I was going through that, I was incapacitated in my bed. And I remember after that struggle, that health scare, I remember one day in particular, they came home from school, and my daughters at that time came into, and they crawled in the bed with their sick dad, and I had one on each shoulder, and I began to ask them about their day, and we talked and we interacted, and I just it was almost like a light bulb went off, and I was like, you're so blessed. How can you take the greatest blessings that you've been given and not pay attention to them? And once that I realized, you know, that I was that in reality the greatest gift I had been given, the biggest blessing I had, and the biggest responsibility I had was not my number one priority, I had to kind of recalibrate and put it into focus. And really once I did that and I had a clear idea of what my purpose was, especially in regards to my family, my kids, and my wife, then it really gave me clarity on everything else as well.
Well, Jimmy, this is what I would also like to know. A lot of times we can't move forward. Well, no, I think we did discuss that on about the old wounds and everything.
Right.
Jimmy, is there any other things that you would like the listeners to know? Because you've been through so much.
Yeah. I just want them to be encouraged that whatever it is they're facing, just to not be alone. Understand that people have been through what you're going through. There's nothing new on the face of this earth. Everything that you are struggling with, somebody, somewhere, has come through it. So understand that this too shall pass. If you're not sure of how to do it, obviously I give some steps in the book. Also, I wanted to mention one thing. Freely we're given, freely we give. And so I want to mention one thing that I have out there. I recorded 6 videos that basically are each of the steps I found. And these are free videos. And, you know, I think there's something that all of us are trying to overcome. So the website to find these videos is overcomingit.com. And you go there and you just put your email address in. I'll send these videos over a week period. And it's a 3 to 5 minute instructional video on each of the steps I found and an action step that you can take that will start heading you in the right direction. So if somebody's in the middle of a struggle, there's a free resource out there. You can get that information. And then obviously, I'd love for people to be able to use that in a way that helps them get out of whatever it is they're struggling with.
Well, Jimmy, I tell you, this really has been so insightful for us. Just to know that someone who's, that's been at the top and you had to come all the way back down just to understand, because a lot of people probably still would have been ignorant to the day saying, oh, well, I guess it just happened, not thinking that maybe they had a little part to do with it. Or you might want to blame God.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jimmy, if someone really want to get in contact with you, they can go to your website, right?
Absolutely. It's domorehavemorebemore.com. There's also a sign-up sheet there if they want those videos, but those free videos are at overcomingit.com. And, of course, if you just look, you can look me up on Facebook or on Twitter. And my YouTube channel is full of instructional videos on some of the things that I found as I've gone through the struggle and come and bounced back. So there's tons of information out there, not just for me, but it just encourage people. I have found, and it's biblical, that seekers find. So whatever it is that you're seeking, whatever struggle you're in that you're trying to overcome, just begin to seek, and God's going to provide you a way to see the way to get out of it.
That's right. So, Jimmy, now that we all talked about your book, what is it that you do for fun now?
You know, I'll tell you what, I'll be perfectly frank. Like this, talking with you today, there's nothing I'd rather do. I feel like my purpose is to share this message of hope that that the struggle is not forever, and this is what I enjoy. I mean, obviously, we do our family things, you know, the kids and everything. It was great weather down here. We actually took the kids down to the beach just to let them run around. It was too cold to get in the water, but they could run around a little bit, get some sun this weekend. But I love doing this. I love speaking to groups. I love speaking to kids and giving them encouragement and getting them excited about their lives. I think that we've all got something we get excited about. I think that's where our purpose is. And, I think that when you do that, people can tell. You know, they can tell when you enjoy and you're in the middle of your purpose. And I think people can tell when they hear you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's kind of what I do and enjoy.
It's a glow. It's a glow. God gives you that glow. When you're happy, it's a glow. People can tell that. And the enemy, the devil or the enemy, whatever you want to call it, always will find a way to tackle you.
Right. Yeah. But light always comes. Here's the thing is, darkness never overcomes light. Light always overcomes dark. So the closer we are to our purpose, I think the brighter we become and the more magnetic we become to others. And I mentioned it earlier. I just want to encourage people to chase your dream. I mean, your dream is not something, it's bigger than you. The world needs your dream to come to fruition. We need your excitement for life. We need that purpose that God's given you for you to fulfill it because it's bigger than you. It's about more than just you.
Now, Jim, I know that you probably had to go through spiritual battles through all these troubling times, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. The biggest part of that thing was I went through a health struggle. Here's the thing people don't realize is the opposite of disease is at ease. Well, when you go through the financial mess that I've been through, and then a lot of people go through, the last thing you are is at ease. And it ended up with me being incapacitated with no voice for 3 months. I ended up in Nashville at Vanderbilt and having a doctor when I'm 35 years old telling me that he sees a mass, an abnormality on my false vocal cord. Now, I have to tell you, leading up to that, for those 2 months leading up to me getting up there, I was angry. I was, and to be perfectly frank, I was even angry at God. I would say things like, God, how can you punish me? I mean, I go to church. I read my Bible. I'm a pretty good guy. You know, I mean, I try to tithe and I do these things. How can you punish me when this guy over here is not having the struggle that I'm having? As if it was, because it was still all about me. You know what I mean? In reality, I couldn't see that God was working on me, you know? So I get up there to Vanderbilt, and I just remember when that doctor told me that, it was, if you've ever heard somebody, especially me at 35 years old, tell you that they see an abnormality, he talked for another 5 minutes, and I didn't hear a word he said. I was, all of a sudden, you know, I was angry. All of a sudden, now I wasn't angry anymore. I was scared. And I remember they rushed us over there to do the MRI on my throat. And as I'm there, you know, my wife is there, my mom, my stepfather, they're in the other room because they'd ridden up there with me. We were all concerned about what was going on. And the nurse puts the little fluid in me to do the MRI, and she says, now, I'm going to be in the other room with the doctor observing you, and your family's in that other room, and once we're done, I'll come in and get you out. And so I just remember that big steel door shutting behind her when she closed it, kaboom. And literally for the first time in my life, I felt completely alone. And all of a sudden, the very person that I had been angry with was the only one that could help me. I wasn't in control, and I'm kind of a control freak. And I began to pray like I'd never prayed before. I just said, Lord, I'm so sorry for not being the man that you created me to be. I'm so sorry for taking for granted all these blessings you've given me. I'm so sorry for just not focusing on what it is that you'd have me to do, but trying to focus on the things that I wanted to do. And if you see fit to get me through this, Lord, I just pray that you would open my eyes to the blessings around me. And you know, I don't know how long I was in there, because for the first time in 3 months when they shut that door, I remember the tear rolling down my right cheek. Well, by the time they got me out, my collars on both sides were soaked. I didn't even say anything to my wife or my family when I came out of there, but I came out of there a different man. And I remember the doctor called us and said, it just appears to be a clear cyst, and, you know, we're going to do this voice therapy. I want you to come back. Now we have a size on what this is. I want to do these things and come back in a month. And I remember going back up there, and he did the MRI, and he said, it's pretty miraculous. I mean, this thing's completely gone. And he said, you know, that stuff we've been giving you is really working. I thought, you don't even know. That has nothing to do with this. And I know who's taking care of this. And it just changed me from a standpoint that I didn't even realize it, but God was shaping me in a way that only fire could do. You know, when the old days, you know, the gold smelters, and I own a cash for gold business and with multiple locations. In the old days, when they would purify the gold, the way they would do it is that the goldsmith would put the gold in there, and he would heat it to a point where it got so hot there was, you know, I mean, it would be unbearable to be around it. But it ultimately, the way that he knew the purity was there was when he could look into it and there was a mirror image of himself in that gold. That's when he knew it was pure. Well, for me, I had to go through some tough and some hot situations to be purified to a point where maybe God could see more of himself in me, and maybe others could see more of him than they saw of me. And that's what my health scare and my spiritual battle was all about. Was, you know, I thought it was all about me having to struggle, but it wasn't even about that. It was about me getting to a point where God could use me. And now I'm thankful. And that's when you know you're getting healed, is when I'm thankful for the struggle I went through. Because without it, who knows where I would be. I probably wouldn't have the relationship I have with my wife today. I probably wouldn't be in a situation where my kids, what I believe is that they respect me like I want them to. I wouldn't be in a position, I know I wouldn't be in a position where I'd have the relationship with my Creator that I have today. So I think what we have to realize is that sometimes we're in a struggle, we're being shaped for something way bigger than what we had before. And we don't even realize it. So understand that there's a purpose in everything. And the quicker that we get to a point where we're not as hard-headed as I was, so that God doesn't have to go to the extremes he did with me, I think the better. And then we realize that there's a purpose in everything.
It is. And as you were mentioning, and I was just thinking, it's God who produces in you the desires and actions that please him. And if I'm correct, I think it's Romans, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Mm-hmm. And everything that you have told us is based around that.
It is. It is. Now, here's the thing is, you know, I sit here and tell you because I've been through it, but let me just tell you now, the person that went through the struggle is not the person you're hearing right now. So
okay. If
there's somebody listening that is
yes. In
it and they're saying to themselves, that sounds great, but that's not who I am, I promise you, whoever you think you are right now is just fine with God. He takes us where we are. Thank goodness, because I'll promise you, whoever's listening that thinks that, well, that can't happen for me, I don't deserve that, I promise you I didn't deserve it. I deserved, to live a life that was miserable because of the decisions I made. But that's not the God we serve. That's not our Creator. And He wants each of us to come through this. And so if there's somebody listening that's in a mess and they don't know if they deserve to come out of it, you don't. I didn't. But thank goodness we deserve a God that's full of grace, that wants what's good for us, and that is driving us through these struggles to lead us to a better place.
Amen. I feel it. I feel every bit of it. I mean, you have had an interesting life and seem to be doing so well in the place you are at. And that's incredible, Jimmy. It really is.
Thank you.
Well, Jimmy, is there anything else that you would like to hit on that I didn't get to?
No, just I just want to encourage people that if they'd like to hook up with me, you know, to check out my website, domorehavemorebemore.com. And on there, like I said, you know, you can sign up for that free video series. And also I send out, almost weekly videos of things that I'm learning along the way or the things that I've been through, and just try to encourage people and make that a place where people can be encouraged.
Well, once again, I thank you for being a guest on The Bright Side with Technisha. It was a pleasure to have you on the show to share your story and to give some insight into your life and your book, What Just Happened, How to Bounce Back in Life so you could do more, have more, and be more. And there are just so many people who are going through the trials and tribulations in their life, but what you have had to endure is amazing. And what is even more amazing is that you have emerged on the other side with your life and your personality intact. Clearly, you're a strong-willed person who can handle just about anything, and you're probably just a bit of an adrenaline. And you have a bit of adrenaline as well. But I hope that I can have you back again, Jimmy, and we bless you and your family.
I bless you as well. Thank you for everything you're doing, Technisha, and I look forward to being on your show again.
Thank you, Jimmy. Well, all my listeners, I hope you have been very motivated today, and I hope you tune in with me tomorrow, because as always, I have interesting guests who have testimonies to give to you. So always try to stay tuned, because we'll be talking to Bruce Starr, who's known as the Love Coach. So stay tuned tomorrow at 12.
Thank you for tuning in to The Bright Side with Technisha.
Come back daily from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
God bless.